Hi, I'm Justin Tinsley. You might know me from my work at Anscape, or as the author of a Biggie Smalls biography, or from my mostly victorious appearances on Around the Horn. So you're going to be hearing different voices hosting ESPN Daily for the near future. And guess what? I'm one of them. I'll be pitching in for the rest of the week, helping this pod do what it's always done. Tell the best sports stories in audio day in and day out. Hope you enjoy. Dave McMenamin, thanks for joining me today. How does it feel to be along for the ride on my very first journey at the helm of the ESPN Daily podcast?
I am honored to be joining you for this momentous occasion. I feel like I've seen you come up through the company. You're a guy who knows how to talk and certainly someone who's always had an interest in all sports, but I feel like basketball is near and dear to your heart, which it is for me as well.
You're absolutely right about that, man. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. So let's pull back the curtain a little bit. I want everyone to know that we were like literally hours away from rolling with Dave on this fantastic profile piece that he has up on ESPN.com, all about Anthony Davis and the battles he's had with his body since the Lakers won the NBA championship in the bubble back in 2020. But then you, yes, you, Dave, started to change the trajectory of today's episode with your tweets. So, let me know how it all went down ahead of Sunday's game.
So Saturday afternoon, we get a text from the Lakers public relations department being like, there's a injury update coming out in 30 minutes. Just so you're aware, you've got to be at a place that's near your laptop. It's not all that out of the ordinary to get a text like that from the PR department. The subsequent text was, and I'm going to text you guys on this group chain before we put it out officially on Twitter to give you a heads up. And so, okay, this is not just going to be your run-of-the-mill D'Angelo Russell is still questionable with his right hip. This is something more significant. And of course, it comes out that LeBron James has been upgraded from out to doubtful. And having covered LeBron for a long time and having covered him for quite a while now while on the Los Angeles Lakers, we've seen this movie before. He doesn't get upgraded to doubtful unless he's going to be upgraded to questionable unless he's going to play. It's a domino as reliable and as predictable as anything else in the sport. And so we knew Saturday afternoon, even though the team at that point was not saying officially he was going to play, that he was going to play.
When it became clear that LeBron was going to play on Sunday, what was the feeling like around the team and the arena and the fan base?
I think it was one of surprise. Now, Adrian Wojnarowski and I and a couple other outlets all reported earlier in the week that LeBron James was targeting the last week of the regular season to get back onto the court. And LeBron went on Twitter and he said, God bless y'all sources, but I speak for myself. And that seemed to be him pushing back, saying like, hey, don't set the table of expectation for me to be back in the regular season. All of a sudden, it's just the opposite. He returned a week earlier than any of us were reporting. Certainly, there was an element of surprise here. And I just think you look at what this team had been accomplishing without him, going 8-5 in the 13 games that he missed because of the right foot. And you add in the thought of a healthy LeBron James in rhythm, and the Lakers' possibilities for a postseason run all of a sudden become so much more legitimate because the Western Conference is not full of giant killers right now. Mm-hmm. Other teams are dealing with their own problems or injury challenges or what have you. And you say, oh man, like maybe this will be it. Maybe this will be the time where LeBron gets another shot to add to that championship collection when, you know, just a couple months ago, this thing looked pretty bleak in Los Angeles.
stop me if you've heard this before. The Lakers are getting healthy at the right time. And any squad starring LeBron James and Anthony Davis has to have a pretty good chance to make a postseason run, right? Well, maybe, maybe not. Because even with LeBron returning to the floor on Sunday, the question of health is still front and center for the purple and gold. So today, Dave McMiniman takes us inside LeBron's return and tells us what Anthony Davis has learned from overcoming his own physical hurdles. I'm Justin Tinsley. It's Tuesday, March 28th. This is ESPN Daily.
I felt okay. You know, I had a couple, you know, drives and the ball got away from me. A couple shots didn't feel as good as before, obviously, but, you know, I was out for 4 weeks, so... between that and the wind, just got to get those things back leading to the final stretch of the season.
So this was the first time that LeBron and AD have been together healthy-ish on the floor since late February. But it resulted in an ugly 10-point loss at home to the Chicago Bulls. And I have to add, former teammate Patrick Beverley. So for a team that literally needs every win it can get right now, Dave, what are you taking away from that performance on Sunday?
It was discombobulated. You fall down early, don't have the requisite defensive thrust. The Bulls were getting into the paint at will. The Lakers weren't shooting the ball that well. And then you throw in the fact that the rotations were different. You know, Lonnie Walker, who had been out of the rotation, was rewarded with some more minutes tonight because he scored 20 off the bench in a big win against Oklahoma City on Friday. Okay, that makes sense. But all of a sudden, now you have LeBron who's playing again. Okay, Rui Hachimura falls out of the rotation. Malik Beasley is not shooting all that well, but he's your designated shooter, and you got to see what he looks like with LeBron. And so you can't just pull him right away if he's not feeling it. The Lakers, on top of all that, were turning the ball over like crazy, 18 turnovers.
Yep.
And it wasn't your best effort. Now, all these games matter, of course, but... at any point, I don't care how great of a player you are, there's got to be a readjustment period, both for the player and for the team. Now, of course, if the Lakers go to Chicago on this road trip and lose on Wednesday, if they continue to lose in Minnesota and Houston, all this thing could fall apart, right? But to me, the fact that they can take a one step back now to potentially take two steps forward and get that process out of the way well before the play-in tournament or the playoffs would begin, is monumental.
Say we wanted to generously point out that D'Angelo Russell was out with a hip injury, and that will allow for that readjustment period you just mentioned. So how should we realistically evaluate who these Lakers are at the end of the regular season?
I think you have a team that, within that locker room, doesn't believe that there's any other team that they would walk into a seven-game series against, whether they had home court advantage or not. And of course, they will not have home court advantage. And the Lakers will view themselves as the underdogs or view themselves as playing an opponent that can't be beat. And this group believes in one another, and they're going to have enough time, I believe. 8 games might not sound like a lot. It's actually a pretty big sample size compared to what other teams are dealing with. Kevin Durant hasn't been playing for the Suns.
Yeah.
John Morant missed all that time with the Grizzlies.
That's true.
Paul George is out for the Clippers right now. Some of their opponents that they're going to have to face are dealing with similar scenarios. The good thing for the Lakers, they are now building towards that moment come April 9th, game 82. They could be playing strong basketball for a week and a half with their entire roster. That's a pretty good launching point to get into a bunch of games that obviously matter even more when you're talking about postseason.
Okay, so last question before we get into your brilliant piece on Anthony Davis. So not to beat a dead horse, but the sudden return of LeBron is kind of the elephant in the room. And we all know this dude, for the entirety of his career, has been the model of health and consistency. But what did you hear after the game about how he got back on the floor weeks ahead of his diagnosis? Because it felt like at one point, we didn't know if this guy was coming back at all.
Yeah, Justin, so let me take you into the locker room. Like, my first question to LeBron is, was your injury? Because the team never fully identified it. It was, he has a tendon injury in his right foot. What does that mean?
What was the injury you're dealing with?
I tore a tendon in my foot.
My next question is, well, doesn't that usually come with a much longer recovery timeline?
That's normally longer than a 4-week recovery process.
It is.
When did you get a sense of you would have a plan to get you back faster than what the normal kind of routine is on that?
When the doctors told me I was healing faster than anybody I've seen before with the injury.
And I said, okay, so how does this make sense? And he said, well, you know, I recovered faster than anybody these doctors have ever seen before. He goes on to tell us that he had two doctors tell him, your best course of action is to shut it down, get surgery, and that's how you're going to get through this.
Hmm.
Then LeBron goes, well, then I saw the LeBron James of feet.
Did anyone ever suggest surgery?
Yeah, two doctors.
Why did you decide against it?
Because I went to LeBron James of feet, and he told me I should.
And here we are today, LeBron James back on the court. So, of course, I want to know who this doctor is, right? Who is the LeBron James of feet? He wouldn't give up the name. And so there's a little mystery shrouding this return. But at the end of the day, you have LeBron James back in the lineup with a tenth of the regular season to go, with a chance to set yourself up for a deep playoff run.
That doctor is tripping, because if I was called the LeBron James of feet, that would be the first thing on my LinkedIn profile.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
without a doubt.
I made that argument to LeBron. I'm like, wouldn't he want that type of attention? It's a pretty good endorsement, right? And he said, that's not how he operates. He likes to kind of stay on the low.
Huh. Well, maybe one day somebody will call me the LeBron James of questions. But after the break, we dive into the injured feet and other body parts of Anthony Davis.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with the smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So Dave, we spoke about it earlier. Before LeBron's surprising return, the focus of today's conversation was going to be on Anthony Davis, because you recently had a chance to talk to him about everything he's been through since that bubble championship in 2020. And a major theme of that discussion centered on frustration from the fans at the roster, with the coaches and the front office, and inconsistency, and most notably with his own body. So what did he tell you about handling his own frustration following his foot injury back in December?
Well, first of all, I appreciate that he was willing to like give a glimpse of what it's really like to be Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm.
We know he's made a ton of money. We know he's in commercials. We know he lives in a mansion in Bel Air, and he's a multi-time all-star, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But when you've been reduced as a human to a punchline, when people call you street clothes, people question your ability to stay on the court and your desire to stay on the court, you know, Mr. Glass, all the jokes, right? What does that have in terms of effect on a person? And Anthony took me, set the scene where he is in the walk-in. No, it's a walk-in closet. I got to say this. It's a walk-in closet in his bedroom that he shares with his wife, Marlon. But this is a couple days after he suffers his latest injury, mid-December, against Nikola Jokic of Denver. He makes a routine post move. He feels a sharp pang in his foot.
You think about that as Anthony Davis with a smooth move, but looked like he tweaked his ankle on the way down or making the move.
And it gets evaluated, and a complex injury is revealed. He has a bone spur that's chipped off the navicular bone. And if you know anything about NBA big men, hurting your navicular bone is kind of like preparing the epitaph for your gravestone. This could derail not just a season, but a career. And so a couple days after, while he's still in kind of the fact-finding mode, much like LeBron went through with his foot, his team was reaching out to as many specialists as they could to figure out the best course of action. It just all hit him. And he sits down in the corner on the floor in his closet. And he shows me his hand. He shakes it to show me, like, Dave, I was this messed up. Like, my body was shaking. I was mad. I was sad. I was frustrated. And in walks his wife and their six-year-old daughter, Nala. And Nala sees Daddy, says, Mommy, what's wrong with Daddy? And clearly he's going through it in this moment, right? Because he thinks, like, he may not play again this season. And that would be coming on the heels of the last two seasons were completely sabotaged by injuries he suffered. And his daughter says, you know what? I got an idea. I'll make this better. And so his daughter scurries off, leaves the closet. AD's still down on the floor. And at this point, his kind of frustration is broken a bit because he's just intrigued. Like, what is my daughter up to right now? But he wants to see what she has in store. And so he kind of like stays acting as if he's still upset, hands still over the head. Daughter comes back in, places a piece of paper on a pile of clothes that's next to AD on the floor, grabs her dad, gives him a hug, leaves. So he's back in his sequestered closet with his feelings, and he goes to grab the piece of paper. And he sees that his daughter Nala drew a rainbow. And he said, man, like, is my daughter, is she just into the colors of a rainbow? Or is she that smart that she knows that after every storm, there's a rainbow? And he said, seeing that image, seeing that photo, seeing that care from his daughter shook him out of the self-pity. And he went and found his daughter, gave her a hug, and he said, okay, let's go. It's time to get to work. And that was the moment where he recommitted himself to turning over every stone possible to get back onto the court. And you've seen that Anthony Davis on the court this season looks like the guy that the Lakers traded for in the summer of 2019 to be the next great big man in their franchise.
So Anthony Davis' daughter may have single-handedly turned around the course of the season.
It's not hyperbole. It's absolutely true.
That is phenomenal to me. Speaking of rainbows, and you just mentioned it at the end of your answer right there, let's go back to happier days. Back when LeBron finally got the co-star he wanted in Anthony Davis to join him in Hollywood. It was the worst kept secret in basketball at that point. What do you remember about the reactions around the league when that deal finally materialized?
This is bad for basketball. A player shouldn't be able to force his way somewhere. What kind of look is it to have a player be sitting out games when he's under contract? Anthony Davis was making clear he was not going to re-sign with the Pelicans. So you take him out of the lineup in order to better your chances of trading him. And, you know, through some really savvy representation from Rich Paul Clutch Sports, they made sure that they suppressed the market, where there were other teams very much interested in Anthony Davis at the time. They made it clear that he's not going to resign if you trade for him. So you'll have him for 1 year rental and go for it. That's fine. But you're going to have him in the long term. And lo and behold, through the sheer force of will, I think, from LeBron and AD to make it happen, and then the Lakers getting a little bit of lottery luck, they got it done. And that first year, the entire world was thrown off its axis from the coronavirus pandemic. But AD was wonderful. The Lakers were great. And together, they won a championship.
It's been a long 10 years, but once more, the Los Angeles Lakers are NBA champions.
that trade paid immediate dividends. Like, the Lakers won the NBA title that season in the bubble. Davis put up 25 points, almost 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks in the finals against the Miami Heat. This is everything they said it would be when they joined forces. And at that moment, at that very moment, Dave, what did the future look like for LeBron, AD, and the Lakers?
It looked like they're going to be stacking rings. But everything almost immediately fell apart after that championship. Because they win it in October. We all assume that the league's not starting back up again until January or February. And right around Thanksgiving, it becomes apparent, oh, we're starting back up Christmas Day. So Anthony Davis will tell you, he did not come into the 2020-21 season with the requisite mental focus or physical discipline. And pretty quickly, he was dealing with knick-knack injuries, which led to some major injuries. And then they go out in the first round of the playoffs with him suffering a groin injury. Game 4, he goes out early. Game 5, he doesn't play at all against the Phoenix Suns. Game 6, he can only play 5 minutes, and they lose. They go from the NBA champs to losing in the first round, the first time LeBron James' career that his team lost in the first round of a playoff. And AD is kind of the poster boy what went wrong, because he couldn't stay available. They follow up the next year. Last season, AD misses a chunk of time from mid-December through early April, 36 out of 46 games, right when they were trying to come together, and they just didn't have enough talent to do it. They finished 33-49, and now not only is the potential trajectory of LeBron James and Anthony Davis as a duo completely changed, but Anthony Davis as an individual talent, all the questions come rushing back. Is he tough enough? Does he want it enough? Does he desire it enough? Does he take it serious enough? All these things. And he took it to heart this past off season, the summer of 2022, comes into training camp, says, I worked on my body so much, I'm going to play all 82 games, which is wild for a guy who just missed 78 out of 154 games the previous 2 seasons, but he really believed it. And of course, he suffers this foot injury, and that's why he took it so hard, to the point where he has to go hide in the closet, because he's at a breaking point. He can't believe that his body has let him down once again, where this time around, he believed he checked every box. He dotted every I, he crossed every T in order to be on the court, and he just had some bad luck.
You know, we can go back to LeBron with Cleveland and Kyrie and the rumors and the talk of him eventually wanting to pass the quote-unquote keys of the franchise off to Kyrie. And obviously, we saw how that played out. And we know he wants to do that with Anthony Davis in Los Angeles. So given everything that you just said, how does all of that impact the succession plan and his place as the Lakers' next great franchise player?
Well, I mean, quite frankly, it made the Lakers front office second guess whether they are best served playing this duo out. They had to have some serious conversations about, do we trade AD? Do we cut bait? Is he so unreliable when he's missing time that it's not worth it for the times he is on the court? And obviously, if you know anything about LeBron, you know that since the time he was 14 years old, he's been pursuing this kind of mythical status of being known as the greatest player of all time. When you get closer to the end days, you want to do everything possible in the final moments to add to your argument, add to your case. You know, you can only imagine if LeBron has to second guess their relationship, because all he wants to do is win championships. And if AD can't be on the court, then he can't win championships. And so it was an uncomfortable time for the franchise. Ultimately, though, the decision makers, the powers that be, decided, no, we are moving forward with Anthony Davis. We believe in him as a person, and we've seen the way his game meshes with LeBron's when they're healthy, that we're not going to be able to recreate that for 50 cents on the dollar by trading him out for a trade package.
So let me just ask you, simple as this. Why are things different now? Why do they feel different now?
The team is better beyond LeBron and AD. That's why. And AD, he went through the roster and the pieces that they acquired at the trade deadline, and this is included in the piece. And he goes, you know, D'Angelo Russell, that's kind of like our Rajon Rondo. He's a wizard with the ball. He's directing traffic on the offensive end. He can make plays happen. We got Jared Vanderbilt. Remember Alex Caruso? How much of a lockdown defender we had in AC? Well, Jared Vanderbilt is that, but supersized. So he's filling that role. We got Malik Beasley. He's our KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Catch and shoot, can get hot and run off two or three makes in a row and completely change the complexion of the momentum of a game. And then he even throws in, hey, we got Rui Hachimura. He's a little bit like our Kuz.
Yep, Kyle Kuzma.
Comes off the bench, can give you some defensive presence, give you some offensive presence. So that's what's different. What's different is they have a roster that is better served to maximize the talents of LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And of course, we all know that there's a guy playing in Dallas. As the Dallas Mavericks keep losing games.
Oh, boy.
We know there's been some history between LeBron James and Kyrie Irving.
Here we go.
That's obviously behind door number two, because the Lakers' salary structure is such that Rob Pelinka, Kurt Rambis, Lynn Rambis, Jeannie Buss and company could decide that, you know what? Yeah, this group kind of righted the ship, but we don't see their ceiling as high as maybe adding another star to the group, right?
Mm.
That, knowing the Lakers, right, they love their stars. Anthony Davis, without saying the name Kyrie Irving, is saying, no. Don't go back to that line of thinking. Don't try to add a third star. We all saw what happened with Russell Westbrook. This group has the right pieces to get it done. And they got to do it on the biggest stage, and that is getting into the playoffs over these final couple weeks and then doing something once they're there. But AD believes that the succession plan shouldn't just be him taking the torch from LeBron, but this group growing together so that they can sustain success back as one of the league's marquee teams to watch for.
Coming up, how the relationship between the Lakers' two biggest stars is preparing them for a playoff push.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
So, Dave, things are different in a good way in LA right now. But I want to know about the relationship between the Lakers' two biggest stars. Because there was some video that leaked when LeBron passed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to become the NBA's all-time scoring leader, where Anthony Davis, he just kind of looked out of it, less than excited. So what did he tell you that moment was really about?
AD acknowledged that there have been times when LeBron and I on the court have looked to be at odds. He's not trying to trick anybody's eyes there. He said those are the type of interactions they can have and then come back stronger the next day because of how deep their relationship is. And that moment that you're referring to in the record-setting night where he passes Kareem, AD told me what the cameras didn't catch was he had just been subbed out of the game about a minute before LeBron hits the shot. And he was so frustrated in his performance, his team's performance, he went to the tunnel right by the Lakers bench and let out a scream of frustration. And he's kind of comes back towards the bench in a bit of a daze is how he described it to me. And all of a sudden, LeBron's record-breaking shot, that possession is playing out. And he plops himself on the bench. LeBron hits it, and he's still, like, in another place mentally.
Coming to the end of the third quarter. LeBron James, a shot in history. And there it is! LeBron stands alone! The NBA's all-time scoring record now belongs to LeBron James.
You could say it's a bad look, and I think he would admit that. I also reported in a separate story that he apologized to LeBron for the way it was perceived because the next day on television shows, sports talk radio, rather than just celebrating the moment that LeBron James had, the next part of the conversation is what's going on with Anthony Davis. And he felt bad about that. But he said, We, meaning him and LeBron, have had so many moments that it wasn't even a blip on the radar in terms of LeBron taking it personal. He thinks that their relationship is strong as any two teammates in the entire NBA.
Mm.
And to me, that is a product of having been through a whole heck of a lot in their four seasons together. The highs and certainly the lows, but speaking the same language and pulling in the same direction.
So since AD returned from that foot injury on January 25th, he's been averaging around 25-13 with two blocks a game. He stepped up his scoring average even more during LeBron's absence, putting up north of 27 points. And in a must-win game against Oklahoma City last Friday, he dropped 37-15. Now, Dave, look, I know the Chicago loss on Sunday was ugly, real ugly, actually. But is this the AD that can convince the Lakers to move forward with him and the team he wants to have around him?
I do think so. It's going to require some luck where his body continues to allow him to stay on the court. Some of the reporting included in my piece was speaking to Dennis Schroeder, who's in his second stint with the Lakers, second stint with AD as his teammate. And the first stint was coming off that bubble championship where we talked about earlier on the pod. AD was not prepared physically or mentally to perform to the best of his abilities that season. Dennis Schroeder sees a big change, a growth, a maturation in the Anthony Davis of today versus that version of him. And included in that are the steps that he takes to prepare and take care of his body that AD credits LeBron James for showing him. He's been following the blueprint. He's been paying attention to the stretching and the icing and the massage and the sauna work and the hyperbaric chamber and on and on and on. And those things have put him in a better place to be able to perform. And so long as he continues to check all those boxes, his talent is undeniable. There's not a list I would say, longer than what you can count on one hand of players that can have the impact on both the defense and offensive end in an NBA game beyond Anthony Davis. And that's why this thing can still work if he has some luck on his side.
So we're at the end here, Dave, but something that struck me about your article was the way that AD thinks about his potential Lakers legacy. From watching Pau Gasol get his jersey retired to thinking about what's to come in Hollywood. So what exactly is AD trying to accomplish here in LA?
He wants to get number three up in the rafters as well. And seeing Pau Gasol, who obviously Pau is up there for his own fortitude and incredible skill and emotional intelligence and teamwork that he brought to that team. But he's up there because of Kobe Bryant, because he got to play with an all-time great. Anthony Davis, there's a parallel there, right? He brings a ton to the table, but it's because of LeBron James, if this ever happens, where he would also be up in the rafters. But he's leaning into what it is to be a Laker. And that is, you don't just win one championship. You win multiple championships. And he said he wants to be a part of the team that can break this tie, 17-17, between the Lakers and the Boston Celtics. He wants to be on the team to get up to number 18, identify the Lakers as a number one franchise, and also be able to say that he accomplished what Pau did, which is not just win one ring, but you win multiple rings. Then you're doing something that matters for the purple and gold.
Dave, I couldn't ask for anybody else to take this maiden voyage with. I can't wait to share this link in the group chat with all of my homeboys, because we share your stories all the time anyway, and some are Lakers fans, some are not, and that is the, you know, the politically correct way of saying it. And now I can say I got some skin in the game. So thank you, Dave. You have given me the ultimate credibility in my group chats. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Anytime.
I'm Justin Tinsley. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.